Good morning. The markets are moving and so are you from the BizNews studios. This is BizNews Daybreak for Wednesday, the 14th of January, 2026. I'm Alec Hogg. Here's the context you need to win the day. Things in the Islamic Republic of Iran are getting close to boiling point. Human rights groups report that the regime has been shooting plenty of live rounds into protesters, killing thousands of them, and the US is promising to help them. Help the protesters, that is, not the regime. Here's the very latest from our partners at Bloomberg.
Iran has experienced more than 2 weeks of deadly nationwide protest, and the Oslo-based Iran Human Rights Group is now warning the death toll could be more than 6,000. Today, President Trump urged Iranians to keep up their protest, and he said that help is on the way. Here is Bloomberg's Nick Wadhams.
Well, if they take him seriously and they do ramp up those protests and face violence from the government, I mean, what we've heard is that hundreds of people have been killed so far as the government tries to crack down on these protests. So if they go out there thinking that the U.S. is somehow going to have their back, you know, what pressure or obligation does that put on President Donald Trump?
That is Bloomberg's Nick Wadhams. Meantime, we are being told that SpaceX is now offering free Starlink satellite service in Iran after a days-long internet blackout. Netflix is working on revised terms for its proposed acquisition of Warner Brothers Discovery. We are told Netflix is discussing making its offer all cash for Warner's studios and streaming businesses. Here is Bloomberg's Chris Palmieri.
The big takeaway here is that Netflix is in this. There's been a question mark. They were sort of a surprise bidder to begin with. This isn't their thing, doing these big acquisitions. And so people wondered, how committed are they to this? This is a signal that they're still committed to doing this deal. Paramount from here, as they're trying to get more details about the valuation process that Warner Brothers went through public. They're continuing with their tender offer. If it comes down to a shareholder vote over the deal, they'll oppose that. If it comes down to an annual meeting, they will propose an alternative slate. So that's Paramount strategy.
That is Bloomberg's Chris Palmieri. Now, the Netflix offer has faced opposition not only from politicians, but Paramount Skydance as well. And institutional investors have been divided on their support. The government of Venezuela has begun to release prisoners with U.S. citizenship. The State Department says that it's an important step in the right direction by the interim authorities in Venezuela, and it's also part of the effort to meet Washington's demands following the capture of leader Nicolas Maduro. President Trump said he's disappointed in Fed Chair Jay Powell for not cutting interest rates.
And just last week, the average 30-year mortgage dropped below 6% for the first time in many years. It's coming down very rapidly, and that's not with the help of the Fed. If I had the help of the Fed, it would be easier. But that jerk will be gone soon.
Now, Trump said he will announce his nomination to replace Powell within the next few weeks. His remarks come in the midst of backlash over the Department of Justice's probe over the Fed.
Well, things might be going crazy in the Middle East, but here in South Africa, the money continues to flow into the country. We see the rand now at 16.36 as we start the day. That is also helped along by the gold price. Even though gold is not that important to South Africa anymore, there's a psychological link between the two. The gold price up just under 1% overnight. It's at $4,631. And Bitcoin up by nearly 5% overnight. So the crypto fans will be delighted, $95,500 in our portfolio. We do have the Bitcoin ETF, and that jumped by 3.25%. Outside of that, the US markets slightly lower. The movers, not really that strong. Meta is a big mover, though. That was down 1.75%. And another big mover was JP Morgan, which released its financial results, its quarterlies yesterday. Yeah, quarterly season already starting just 2 weeks into the new year. This is what happens in the United States. They report financial results of companies every 3 months. So JP Morgan's quarterlies were not welcomed, and that was down by 4%. We'll have more on that and Meta later in the program. Here in South Africa, the markets were, well, a little better, I guess, than what happened internationally, given that we did close, though, before they all began their downward decline, albeit small. The all-share index here was up by 0.2%. Amongst the large cap, Sasol, best performer. That was up 4.5%. That's in our portfolio as well. And the Sasol share price has been enjoying a good run of late. It has improved from getting close to 100 Rand a share, and it's going to start today at 115 Rand a share, up, as I said earlier, 4.5% today. The other big mover on the day for the portfolio was Sabvest, up by nearly 3%, and Prosus, so 1.5% higher. No real big declines outside of the Purple Group, which has had a fantastic run lately. That was down by 4% overnight to 2 Rand 37. Well, if you look past the guest list for next week's World Economic Forum in Davos, you'd be forgiven for thinking that the event has morphed into a Donald Trump fan club. Indeed, I actually wonder, given the people who are going, why they didn't just have it in America. Why did they have to go all the way to Switzerland? So a little bit like a takeover by Trump and his acolytes. The WEF is touting record numbers, 400 political leaders, 65 heads of state. But the real story is in who isn't attending. While President Trump headlines a roster that includes Argentina's Javier Milei and Germany's new Chancellor Friedrich Merz, the silence from the BRICS bloc is deafening. There's no Xi Jinping, no Lula da Silva. I couldn't find Modi, the Indian Prime Minister, anywhere. And of course, significantly for us here, no President Cyril Ramaphosa. Well, even traditional heavyweights like France and the UK are notably absent from the top tier. Instead, we see a heavy pivot in the guest list to the new Western order, with Canada's Prime Minister Mark Carney and fierce tech critics joining the fray. They've dubbed the theme a spirit of dialogue, but with a global south and key European neighbours staying home, you have to wonder if it's really a dialogue or just an echo chamber for the new administration in Washington. Isn't it strange how quickly things change? Well, coming home, a massive boost for our economy yesterday. South Africa is now officially off the European Union's list of high-risk jurisdictions. Effective the end of the month, January the 29th, this pivotal move will end the mandatory enhanced due diligence requirements for EU banks. Anybody who's got an offshore operation knows all about this. That has stifled trade and investment flows since 2023, and it has made doing business just that much more difficult. Well, we're off that list now, and that comes hot on the heels of last year's grey list exit, representing a major regulatory victory. However, Treasury, that is South African Treasury, warns the work isn't over and preparations are already underway for the next FATF evaluation in 2027 to make sure we don't go back on the grey list. But so far, so good. Things are improving on that front. Another piece of good news, the Africa Growth and Opportunity Act, AGOA extension bill, was passed by the US House of Representatives yesterday by a huge majority, 340 to 54. AGOA, which was first enacted in the year 2000, provides duty-free access to the US market for eligible sub-Saharan countries. And the bill now moves on to the Senate. If passed, it will reauthorize AGOA with all beneficiaries included, South Africa among them, despite the friction between our government and the White House at the moment. And that would go on for 3 years until 2028. Holding thumbs there. South Africa's Trade Minister Parks Tau called it a vital win for economic stability. While South Africa had advocated for a longer than 3 year term, Minister Tau said that this renewal will provide immediate certainty for key sectors like automotives and agriculture. He said the US is the country's third largest export destination and that it generates $15 billion in bilateral trade. Significantly, Tau said nothing about the additional 25% tariff that Trump announced yesterday for anybody who trades with Iran. On local markets, the Renergen saga has officially turned a new page. The NASDAQ-listed ASP Isotopes, which acquired Renergen, confirmed overnight that the deal for the South African helium producer is now closed. Renergen's co-founders, Stefano Morani and Nick Mitchell, are stepping into senior global roles at ASP Isotopes. Morani becomes the president of electronics and space, while Mitchell takes the reins as the co-chief operating officer. They're also moving on to dollar-based pay packets, lucky them. Morani secures a base salary of $550,000, that's about 10 million rand a year, while Mitchell will be on $400,000 plus significant stock incentives. A massive leap for the duo who turned a Free State gas field into what everybody seems to believe is now a global asset. While on Wall Street, the earnings season, as mentioned earlier, has started. JP Morgan, though, down 4%. This Bloomberg Stock Movers report explains why and also covers BizNews portfolio holding Meta Platforms.
The major indices moved a little bit to the downside. The S&P 500 fell by 0.2%. The Dow down by 0.8%. The NASDAQ down by 0.1%. I'm Tim Stanovec along with Christina Ruffini. We're joined by Bloomberg Television markets correspondent Nora Melinda for Stocks on the Move.
We've been looking at bank earnings season, so I've got my eyes on JP Morgan Chase. That's ticker JPM. We saw that investment banking fees fell in the fourth quarter, short of analyst expectations. We also saw that deals that were meant to be completed last quarter were pushed into this year. So you definitely saw that sentiment really ricocheting across Wall Street. We saw a decline of about 4.2% on the day for this stock in particular, and financials more broadly declining. Of course, we know President Donald Trump has been coming out saying that he wants to put a 10% cap on interest rates for credit cards. We know Jamie Dimon has pushed back on that. And of course, we're still seeing developments in terms of what this could mean moving forward. But seems as though some people on the street are concerned. I've been keeping my eye on the tech space, but Meta Platforms in particular, we did see shares ending lower by about 1.7% on the day. We do know that they actually cut about 1,000 jobs in terms of the Reality Labs division. We know that Meta was really focused on really bringing the metaverse and saying that we would spend a lot of time there, but that hasn't really panned out
the way they expected.
I mean, I know I didn't. I don't know if you guys were over there, but did it work out the way they had anticipated it or what investors were hoping for? So you are seeing them really pairing all of their developments into that right now.
Interesting news coming out of Meta Platforms in the last couple of days as well. The company begins job cuts as it shifts away from the metaverse to AI devices. I was thinking about this yesterday, Nora, and I'm just like, the metaverse never took.
It didn't.
And the fact that, you know, a few years ago we were talking about Meta's full pivot to the metaverse, they're so lucky that at the same time they were investing in AI and doing so much in AI, because that has certainly been the trend that has taken.
Absolutely. If you just think about the ticker and the rename toward Meta, I mean, there clearly was a massive push for this and it didn't really materialize. And we're not shopping there. Not too many people are eating there or doing all the transactions that they had anticipated. So we'll have to see what they're able to do. I believe they're going to be redistributing some of the funds they were using for the Reality Labs division toward other things.
And now you have all the news you need, and that will give you the edge. For the full interviews and details behind these stories, head over to biznews.com. I'm Alec Hogg. Thanks for starting your morning with us. Now go and seize the day.